Welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Tim, Sam and Nav, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So our first speaker we have this morning is Tim. Would you like to share with us, Tim?
Thanks. My name is Tim. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety birthday, the day of my last drink was the 15th of January 2007, and I haven't needed to take a drink since that day. That was the day of my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to the Parnell Monday night meeting, a local meeting, and I heard messages from the people at the meeting about their own drinking. You know, they let me know what drinking was like for them, and I was able to start to realize my own drinking pattern and my own drinking story. And they gave me a big book, the nickname for Alcoholics Anonymous, the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And I started to read the first few chapters of the big book, and I realized that whatever these Alcoholics Anonymous people were, whatever the organization was, it understood my drinking. And I realized that in the book and at the meetings, there were people who were speaking my language when it came to alcohol. And that was based on my powerlessness over alcohol. You know, I'd never really been able to explain to myself why I seemed to make these decisions to go on big drinking binges when I knew it wasn't in my best interest. You know, I wasn't in full flight from reality. I knew that drinking late into the night on a Tuesday wasn't a good idea, because it made it very difficult for me to be fit for work the next day, and I needed that money, right? So I didn't realize that I was powerless over alcohol, you know, and that was a chief way for me to self-diagnose myself as an alcoholic. No one at these meetings was telling me I was an alcoholic. They were saying that they were alcoholics, and that allowed me to make my own mind up about where my drinking had taken me and what it was really like for me. And so I wasn't just deciding to go on a big drinking binge, and then it made it really difficult for me to earn a living, and I would damage my relationship with my employer, my family, friends, neighbours, flatmates, pretty much everybody. I was left in this position where I didn't understand my own drinking. And, I went on these drinking binges not through choice, you know. I think the first drink, I looked for the sense of ease and comfort which comes from taking a drink. And I guess a lot of people do that with alcohol. They use it to take the edge off. You know, I wasn't any different to the average normal drinker on that level. But once I did take that first drink, it set off the phenomena of craving, as we call it, which is like an allergy. It's similar to an allergy, where I take one drink and I have to take another and another, and I have no mental control over how much I drink, how long I drink for, how much money I spend. A lot of my behavior when I was drunk, it wasn't freedom. You know, I wasn't free to choose not to act like that. And often I'd find myself in situations where once I sobered up the next day, I was horrified. I was horrified to think that I went into certain bars or spent certain amounts of money on alcohol. I would think, you know, why did I do that? You know? And I'd be trying to search around in my head for an explanation that seemed plausible, you know, which seemed rational, and I couldn't find one, you know. And so that was the madness of the alcoholism or the situation that I was in, you know. I thought, this time I'll handle myself differently. Other people drink heavily. They seem to get away with it. I've solved my other problems in life in other areas, or been successful to some degree in other areas. I'll control my drinking in a similar way. I'll assert my willpower. And that kind of thinking is characteristic of someone like me who has the mind of an alcoholic. You know, that is really having the mind of an alcoholic. I give myself an alibi or a plausible excuse, a rationalization on how I'm going to do it differently next time when it comes to alcohol. And I pick up that first drink and I'm powerless as I ever was, you know. And over time it was getting worse, and I couldn't admit that either. I couldn't admit that it was deteriorating my prospects for holding down work. The kind of work I wanted to do wasn't available to me because of drinking put itself first. And other people saw my selfishness and foolishness, and they thought, why would anyone do that? And, you know, I couldn't give them a decent explanation because I didn't really know, because I wasn't choosing to put alcohol first. You know, it was putting itself first because I'm an alcoholic, because I have the body of an alcoholic. Once I take that first drink, all bets are off. I can often go into blackout. I can't remember where I went or what I said or what I did. The next day, people would tell me about what I did, and I'd be horrified or laugh it off, or become aggressive because someone's trying to confront me about my drinking and my behaviour. And then, you know, so I'd cut people out. I'd move on to other groups of friends. All that sort of stuff was the pattern of my living. And when I came to AA, other people said, yeah, we lived like that too, and we have a way out based on the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous for recovery from alcoholism. But I had to admit that I physically had a problem with alcohol, that I wasn't mentally able to control my behavior once I got sufficiently drunk. And so freedom from alcohol has been nothing but a gift and a blessing, but I had to admit I couldn't do it for myself. So that's the degree of humility that I've found in AA, which is required for a successful recovery, is to admit that I couldn't do this for myself. AA, there's a lot of freedom in AA to interpret the steps as you need. And there's nobody telling me I have to believe in a certain brand of theological conception of God or any of that sort of stuff. So it's very open spirituality based on one alcoholic talking to another, common understanding about the problem, and a common solution for the process of recovery, which has been nothing but freedom, as I said. I don't miss anything about alcohol. I found what I was looking for in the bottom of a drink, in the peace of mind that's come from being a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I go to regular meetings. Someone said to me, you drank every day, Tim. It makes sense that you have to do something about your alcoholism on a daily basis. That made sense to me. And I needed a sufficient substitute for alcohol. So I put myself into a spiritual way of living based on AA's principles, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim, for sharing your experience with us. Our next speaker this morning we have is Sam. Sam, would you like to share your experience with us? Thank you.
Hi, my name's Sam and I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Monday Night Remmers, 7:30 at St. Mark's. For as long as I can remember, as young as maybe 5 or 6 years old, I'd always felt that I didn't belong. I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. Always the feeling of dis-ease, discomfort. And that stayed with me right through my childhood, in between 5 different families. And I just remember the majority of my young life, I felt like there was something wrong. And so there were a few things that I did. I misbehaved as a kid, as you do. And it wasn't until I got to my young teenage years that I found alcohol. And when I found that when I started drinking, that it took away all that dis-ease, that discomfort. It made me feel like I was part of the family around social gatherings, even though they weren't family. But it was, I vividly remember that it gave me the feeling that I never had, you know, growing up. And so, you know, I attached to that, to those scenarios and those situations, and I carried drinking right through from my teens right into my early 30s, where it probably started to get worse. And when I say worse, it was pretty much the consequences of where my drinking had got me. And it wasn't until I came into AA, really, that I started to figure out what was actually wrong with me. I first came in really to get people off my back. I was actually looking at another jail sentence. So I was trying to get out of going to prison. So I was ticking all the boxes and appeasing all the right people so that I could get to where I needed to be. And fortunate for me, the first time I met some people who I heard their stories, and I really, what's the word I'm looking for? Geez. I agreed with what they were talking about, and I could also, what's the word? Sorry. I identified with not necessarily just their drinking, but what was going on through their heads, you know, when they weren't drinking. And I guess that was probably the first time the seed was sown in me about, you know, this could actually be something that could help. And so I just continued going to meetings, to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, not really doing anything else but just attending meetings. And so I ended up drinking again about after a year after that first stint. And I went back out drinking again for another 20 years before my backside was on fire again. And I ended back in AA again. Once again, it wasn't to stop drinking. It was just to get people off my back. But I'd run into a man that I'd known 20 years prior who had pulled me aside, and he said to me, with those famous words, Sam, nothing will change if nothing ever changes. And for whatever reason, that statement sat with me, because I had sleepless nights probably for the next 2-3 days after. And he picked me up and kept taking me to AA meetings. And still then, I had no real intention to get sober. I was just, you know, ticking the box and just going to meetings. And it was at one meeting in particular, which is my home group I mentioned earlier, which was Remmers Monday night. And during that meeting, we read Chapter 5 from the AA Big Book, which is How It Works. And for whatever reason, in the first 3 paragraphs, my ears pricked open, and I remember feeling guilty, and I remember feeling ashamed. And I think it was the first time in my life that I read something and I knew that it was talking to me, and I could make a conscious decision whether I was going to do something about it or I could continue doing the same thing. And I think, yeah, in the first line of Chapter 5, How It Works, the first line is, rarely have we ever seen a person fail that has thoroughly followed our path. And for someone like me to read something like that, it wouldn't normally go in one ear and out the other. And what it meant to me that day was that I had to do something else that I wasn't in control of, and it had to be somebody else or some kind of guide that was going to give me some direction about how I could do things differently so that I could potentially have a better life. And so I continued to go to meetings. I continued going to that same meeting in particular. I started to hear things differently this time when I went to meetings. Like, I was really open to and was really relatable to people when they were talking about how they felt and what they were thinking, especially when they weren't drinking. I was so used to hearing about people's stories about how they drank, and I'd be thinking, yes, I did that too. And so the next part was, okay, well, what did you do when you stopped drinking? And I guess that's my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous this time around, is that I keep coming to AA, and I stay in the program, and I have a program where I have to maintain a certain way of living, and that certain way of living is following through a guide, which we call the 12 steps. If you had asked me 20 years ago to follow something on the wall that said the 12 steps, I would have thrown the finger at you. I'm not a spiritual person. I'm not a godly person. And I think for me, this program was great in the sense of that somebody was able to take me through the steps and explain clearly that my God was my God of my own understanding, and that it wasn't a God that what I thought was, that was sitting above the clouds, that drew them apart and this golden sunlight would come down on you. That's what my perception always was about spirituality and God. And today it's a very different understanding for me. And yeah, very, very grateful to the program, because it's pretty much given me the life that I wanted. It isn't the life that I've directed. It's the life that's an outcome of me having a good program. And yeah, very grateful to AA.
Thank you very much, Sam, for sharing with us. And our last speaker this morning is Nav. Nav, would you like to share with us, please?
Sure. My name's Nav, and I'm an alcoholic. And my home group is Park Bench on Thursday night in Mount Eden at 7 o'clock. I came into AA in 2006, and this was in Fiji. Growing up, I come from a fairly good family. I had a good upbringing. But the first time I had a drink, I still remember to this day that it made me feel good, you know. And during early days, you know, drinking wasn't that common, so you know, it wasn't a regular drinking. But as I grew older and started uni, I started drinking a lot more. And for some reason, I was always the one who would get into some sort of trouble, and I would be the one that couldn't stop drinking. And that pattern continued as I grew up, started working. I lost a couple of jobs because of my drinking. You know, and in 2006, one of my bosses found an AA group in Fiji and gave me an ultimatum that I better attend the meeting or I would lose my job. So I went to a meeting in Fiji, and this consisted of four American expats that were living there. When I walked into the meeting, and when they shared the experience, I could relate to them. I could relate to the fact that I'm an alcoholic. When I say I'm an alcoholic, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It just means I've got a sickness where once I start drinking, I can't stop. And for some reason, when I'm not drinking, I'm thinking about ways to get the next drink. I attended the meeting in Fiji for about 2 years, regularly going to the meeting and not drinking. But one thing I didn't do were the steps. I thought to myself, I mean, this program came about in 1935. Medicine and psychology has made significant progress since then, and there must be something out there that would help me control my drinking. I mean, it's written in the big book that every alcoholic has this obsession that one day they will be able to control their drinking. And I had that obsession and I picked up after 2 years. And since then, my life became a bit of a roller coaster ride. You know, I had an accident where the other driver passed away. I ended up in prison. You know, I lost a lot during that period. But for some reason, I still chased that illusion that there was something out there that would help me control my drinking. And I started telling myself that AA doesn't work because I'd been in AA previously and I didn't stop drinking. The fact was that AA is a program of action. You know, there are guidelines, and as much as it is said that these things are suggestions, you know, people who do these things are the ones who remain sober. I've never seen a sober person maintain their sobriety who hasn't done their steps, you know. So I bumbled around for a very long time, you know. I lost everything that was precious to me. I lost relationships. I lost jobs. I can't remember how many flats I've been kicked out from. I lost, you know, my own. A lot of people in my family didn't want to have anything to do with me. And in 2019, June of 2019, I came back into these rooms completely beaten, you know, without a modicum of dignity or, you know, self-worth. And for the first time, I had to realize that my way wasn't working, you know. As much as I tried to control my drinking, there was no controlling it. My disease, alcoholism, you know, there is no medical or psychological cure for it. What we rely on is a spiritual cure. That spiritual cure comes from doing the steps and working this program, trusting in a higher power. And as Sam said, that, you know, a higher power of my understanding, not what the world tells me or what my parents or my ancestors believed in, a higher power that I believe in, which could be anything. And this time when I came in, and when I say I was beaten, you know, my ego took a real hit. And that's what this program is about at the end of the day. It's about ego deflation. As an alcoholic, we are very, very egoistic, you know. And we realize that when we talk to other alcoholics in our circles, when you talk to old timers, you know, it's very hard for us to realize how big our egos are. And the steps, as I said, for me, the steps is the way that connects me to my higher power. And to connect to my higher power, I need that ego deflation. That ego deflation comes from doing the steps, you know. And I don't have to do the steps alone. The good thing about AA is we have a sponsor that guides us through these steps, you know. It's first of all admitting that I'm an alcoholic, you know. And I have to understand that there is no cure for alcoholism other than the spiritual cure that is in front of it, that is through the steps of AA. And so the simple things that I needed to do was to go to meetings and get a sponsor and do the steps. And as I did the steps, you know, that obsession to drink slowly lifted away. And that is a miracle in this program, you know, being free from that obsession to drink. You know, for the first time in my life, I feel free. My life today is very, very different from what it used to be, you know, some 6 years ago. and it's all through AA. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a really, really grateful alcoholic. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Nev, for sharing with us. That is all the time we have for today. Again, we'd like to thank Tim, Sam and Nev for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website www.planetaudio.org.nz under the program name AA On Air. And finally, could you join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Boy, I love your sister. I got a fear of thunder, 'cause I hate the winter. Through all of the distance, all I taste is silence. I'm trying too hard to be forever the one invited. Control me, you got to let go, I can't breathe.